life for us, the life we're now living by faith. Amen. Does anyone know what today is? I think I heard somebody say it. It's Groundhog's Day. And the history of Groundhog's Day takes us back to the 1800s, and it was a tradition held by the Germans that if the groundhog comes out of his hole and the sun is shining, he'll see his shadow and he'll return to hibernation for 6 more weeks. And it was believed that this would indicate that it was going to be a longer winter, something all of us don't want to see. If the groundhog comes out and does not see his shadow, then that would indicate more moderate temperatures, and the groundhog, and it was believed that this then would indicate an early spring. Let's tie an analogy using this to Christ. Let's think of our early spring as being salvation and eternal life. And let's think of a long winter as being the long and cold life on this earth without a Savior and without hope. In chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, we have our Groundhog Day. We have an indicator, a predictor that Jesus gives for everyone to know whether or not he is truly the Christ. And the question that hangs in the balance is, does he have authority over death? In chapter 11, we hear the account of Lazarus. Lazarus had become sick, and he died. And after his death, Jesus takes his disciples to go see him. He takes this opportunity, then, to publicly make that declaration of whether or not he truly has power over death, whether he truly is the Messiah. He says in verse 15, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." And Jesus is saying this to every one of us. He wants every one of us to go and see if Jesus is truly the Christ. He wants us to all believe. So what about us? None of us actually saw whether or not Lazarus came out of the tomb with our own eyes. What did that Groundhog's Day indicate? An early spring or a long winter? We could look just prior to the account of Lazarus there, where Jesus talks to Martha. He has this conversation, and Martha expresses her doubt in this situation because Jesus wasn't there. She says, "If only you had been there, this wouldn't have happened." These are feelings that every one of us has from time to time. If only Jesus had been there, it would have made the difference. Why did this tragedy or difficulty come into my life? Where was Jesus when the earthquake hit Haiti? Well, Jesus gives a response to Martha. Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus responds, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Martha needed to look no further for hope than what was standing right in front of her. She didn't need to look to a future expectation of something that was going to happen. She had that present reality. That present reality that Jesus is the resurrection. The resurrection standing right in front of her with authority over death. He wants to do the same for you. He wants to take you from some future expectation to a present reality. A present reality that Jesus is the resurrection. We don't have to see Lazarus with our own eyes. We have Jesus himself having risen from the dead, standing right in front of us in the words of Scripture. For First Peter calls this a living hope, a hope that does not die. Jesus changes all our question marks into exclamation points. Not, will I live, but I'm already living. A person who believes in Jesus as the life, the only life, will never taste death. This is a comfort for us in all of our questions, because it tells us that in whatever happens in this world, Jesus remains that resurrection standing right in front of us. For the people that died in the earthquake in Haiti, believing in Christ, they didn't really die. So also for anyone you've ever known who has died believing in Christ. For Lazarus, that's what Jesus wanted Martha to look for. For Professor Siddle, for Mrs. Mullen, this is true. Maybe we could get a little more personal here. What does this mean for us in relation to our own sins? What if you were the life? If you look at the life you've lived, or if I look at the life I've lived, day by day, week by week, we face various challenges to our faith and temptations. And day by day, week by week, our flesh is pulling us away from that light of Jesus to fall into sin, to find excuses for sin. If we were the life, well, we would surely end in death. Yet here in steps Jesus, the life. The life he gives to you. This is not just the life, this is his life. He gives to you who believe in him a complete remission, a complete payment of every sin that you've ever committed. Complete redemption. Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus has broken down that separation between you and God so that now you can do things that are good and pleasing to God, not because you're required to, but simply out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. Will spring come early? The groundhog is estimated to be right only 39% of the time. Yet here we have a guarantee of Jesus, who has never let us down and will never let us down. Not just will spring come early, spring already has come early. Winter is over because of what Jesus, the resurrection, who could not be held by death. We don't need, just need to see Lazarus. We've already seen Jesus conquering death for every one of you. So you can already be experiencing that everlasting spring of life. So we can answer the question Jesus poses to Martha then, do you believe this? With Martha we respond, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world. Amen. We'll close with the singing of hymn 151, the first stanza.